steps are wonderful.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Woo! That's loud without carpet. Wow. So, let's talk about the elephant in the room. The room. Yes, there is a lot of things changing over the next couple of weeks. Y'all can see that we already had to remove some things, move some things around just to get an idea of what we are dealing with. And you will continue to see changes as we are able to meet in here. Understand something. We will continue to meet. It may just not be in here. There will come a time in this process of us redoing this remodel. We told y'all this at the meeting. We've tried to tell it to you throughout the month of December that there are going to be a lot of changes. One of those changes is there's going to be a short time that we are going to have to meet over in the fellowship hall. We will have it set up properly for service. We will have to scale back some of the things like the songs. We will have to scale back some of the, man, that is high. We will have to scale back some of the things, like number of songs like we are doing now. And I want you to understand something. We are not doing it to interfere with worship. We're doing it to be patient with us. We are trying our best to make this go as painless as can be. And guys, we're probably going to mess up on some things. But be patient with us. But understand this too. Worship is not about a building. Worship is not about a building. If you have to have a building to worship in, you have a problem. Worship isn't about a song. If you have to have a certain song to worship to, you've got a problem. The atmosphere isn't needed for worship. It is the heart that's needed for worship. And as we go through these next couple of weeks, be patient with us, okay? Speaking of next week is going to be a very special week. Next week, we are going to be having baby dedications. Notice I said shuns. Multiple. God has blessed us with a number of babies over the last couple of months. And there's something in the water or... They're not COVID babies, I'll tell you this. But at the same time, we have been blessed with a large number of babies. So next week, we will be celebrating these babies. And we will try to do our best to where everybody can see. But again, be patient with us. You heard, Joyce announced about the strength to stand. I want y'all to continue to be in prayer for them. Last night, two people from our group profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. That was not one. This morning, they are worshiping right now just as we are worshiping. It's probably about this loud too, but they are worshiping at the same time that we are, but they're going to be talking about some different things than we are. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, we started talking about priorities, 3 weeks actually. Started talking about priorities in our life. And one of the things that I want to prioritize in 2026 is family. And to really prioritize family, you have to deal with the whole structure of family. So the first week we talked about marriage. What was marriage? Whose design was it? Whose idea was it? And we found out in Genesis chapter 1, from the very beginning, marriage was God's idea. Its structure, its design, its creation, it is all Him. Then we started talking about the roles of marriage. Last week we talked about the role of a husband and how a husband is supposed to sacrificially give his life just as Christ sacrificially gave his life. And I'm not saying you die for your wife. I'm not saying that you don't if you have to. But at the same time, you love her so much that the last thing you consider or think about is you. This week, we're going to be talking about the wife. And even last week, I had somebody come to me, and they know I was going to say this. They said, Scotty, I'm having a problem because I really don't feel like this message applies to me. And I do not know where this come from, but out of the blue, and I'm coining it, every sermon is meant to either ingest, digest, or suggest. Okay? Every message that you ever hear in your life from God's word, it's either meant for you to ingest it. In other words, take hold of it, eat it, apply it to your life. For some of you, it's meant for you to digest, to where you have to meditate over it, to where you get all the nutrients from it and it enriches your life. And for some of you, a sermon is meant for you to suggest later on when people are dealing with things that you have heard about in sermons. It is God using these sermons to equip you to do the work of the ministry so that you can minister to these people during this time. So every sermon is meant to ingest, digest, or suggest. Y'all got it? All right. So let's go ahead and get into this. I have been praying about this one. It was easy talking with the men, but when you start talking about the role of the women, it can get heated. Like I told you last week, when I was looking at this, I wanted to do exactly what everybody else did. So I looked up wedding marriage advice for Google. And I told you I was going to give you three last week, and I was going to give you some more this week. This one is not as much advice as it is just a cute saying. And most of y'all know this. Behind every good man is a good woman. But did you know behind every good woman is most likely an equally good therapist? Amen. That is true. That is true. For men, it is important that we say what we mean and mean what we say. For the ladies, it's important for you to keep us guessing. That's why we do not understand your language half the time. If you don't know, the word fine with a woman has three meanings. There can be, it's fine, which means you go ahead and do it. It can mean, fine, go ahead and do it, but I'm not going to be happy about it. Or it can be, fine, go ahead and do it, but I know where you sleep at night. For us, it's hard, ladies, it's hard. Because we try to say what we mean, and we try to mean what we say. But God tries to do the same thing. So ladies, I want you to hear me say something today. Today I'm speaking to you directly from God's word, not from my opinions, not from my thoughts, not from my culture, but exactly what it says pertaining to the husband and wife. So let's dig into this. We're going to start in Ephesians 5, where we've been starting. And I know we've already read this three times. Guess what? We're reading it one more time. But I want you to listen to what this has to say to the wives. Wives, be subject to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church. He himself being the Savior of the whole body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, set her apart, completely apart from everything else. Having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word, that he might present to himself a church in all her glory. Remember, men, this is our goal, to present our wives in all their glory. Having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it. Just as Christ also does for the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with the reference to Christ and to the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Let's pray. Father, we come to you, Lord, thankful for the opportunity that we have to dig into your word, for the opportunity that we have to come and glean from it. And this morning, Lord, you've heard my prayers all week. My prayer all week has been for this church to hear from you. So as I use your word, Lord, to talk about the role that you have placed on the wife, I pray, God, that you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart and mind to understand. Father, at the same time, I want to lift up our students to you. Father, there aren't many churches that are blessed the way you have blessed us, to where we were able to send 45 people up to this conference. At the same time, you've also already let us see the fruit of that labor, of us pouring into the next generation by you drawing two of those individuals to yourself. And Father, just as I started praying last week, I pray, God, that you would speak to each and every one of those students and chaperones, showing them how much you love them, but also, Lord, that you have a plan for their life. Father, give them safe travel. Give them mercy. But also, Lord, give them a time of true worship in spirit and in truth. And Father, we want to thank you for all that you're going to do here, but also all that you're going to do there as well. Continue to be with us, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So over years, there have been many things that have come about in culture that are not exactly correct. We see words in Ephesians. Some of your translations say submit. Some of yours say submission. Some of yours say subject. And in those, we always associate those with authority. And like I said last week, there is some part of authority to it, but we also have to remember that it's not just authority. It is also your responsibility to make them succeed. Husbands, it is your responsibility to present your wife in all her glory, blameless, setting her apart above anything else, and loving her just as Christ loved the church. When you give a woman something to biblically submit to, biblically to fall in subjection to, biblically something to fall into submission to, I promise you this, she will have no problem with it. So how did this all come about? The way it all came about is we have to go to the beginning. In Genesis chapter 2, it's going to be on the screen. Don't worry about it. You can write these down too if you want to. But in Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 20, this is what it says about the account of when God created woman for man. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from man and brought her to the man. God created you ladies just for us. He uses a couple of words here that we really need to look at what they mean so we can have a proper understanding. First, he uses the word suitable. There was nothing present that was suitable or appropriate to be a helpmate for man. So God had to take that in consideration and creating something. And he created something also being suitable, meaning parallel to. Did y'all hear me in that? Parallel to. Side by side, not front and back. He created a suitable helper that was perfect for man that would be by his side. Not only that, it says someone who is a helper. Do you know what a helper is? It's someone who helps. It's not that hard, guys. Come on. A helper is simply someone who helps. Why did man need a helper? Ladies, be careful. Ladies, be extremely careful. Why did man need a helper? Man needed a helper for the same reason that you need a helper. We all need helpers. We need help in our daily lives. We need help with our salvation. We need help in just figuring out what's going on around us, and we need help, listen to me, to succeed at the mission that God has given us. God knew the husband would need help, okay? Man, let's just be honest. God knew that we would need help, and he fashioned for us. I love that word fashioned, because when you talk about that word fashioned, it's talking about the same thing. When he took man, he took dust from the ground and he fashioned it with his own hands. Men, your wife is handmade by God for you. Wives, your husband, handmade by God just for you. But when he created you, man and woman, he created a sequel. He created us different, but he created a sequel. Over time, some things happened. That thing, sin. Guys, sin complicates everything in life. Would you agree? Amen. Everything in life is easily complicated or manipulated by sin. And if we're not careful, sin can cause some things to be put in our life that may not really have been original intention, but it comes to a point to where these things have to be done. When sin come into this world, God's creation, remember what he said about his creation? It is good. It was no longer good. The way he originally created it was tarnished because of man's decision. And when man's decision comes in play, sometimes it causes things to get messy. So let's look at how things got messy. One of the ways that things got messy, you can find it in Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 16. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. You know, I can't help but wonder, what was it originally supposed to be like? You ever thought about that? Because of sin, ladies, y'all have dealt with this. We have it. Kidney stones is the worst that we've ever had. Y'all have dealt with this. Y'all know it. But because of sin, that pain in childbirth has been greatly multiplied. What was it like to be supposed to be from the beginning? I just got to ask that. But then he goes on to say something else. He says, in your pain you will bring forth children. Yet, your desire will be for your husband. And listen to this. And he will rule over you. So I want you to understand what's being said here. Because when we read that, your desire will be for your husband, everybody's like, oh, that's so sweet. A woman's always going to be desiring for her husband. But that's not what's being said here. In the Hebrew, it's actually completely different. The word husband here is not an individual. It's a title. So let me reread it the way it would have been written in Hebrew. You will desire the position of your husband. God says it, not Scotty. You see, man and woman were to live equally in the garden, perfectly together, in harmony, never having any fault, never having any fallout, never having any problems to come about. But when sin come to into this world, everything changed. But that doesn't mean God changed his plan. This was all set in place beforehand. But he says, but your husband will rule over you. Now, men, we talked about this last week. That doesn't mean that your wife is a doormat, right? That means that you have a responsibility to take care of your wife. We also talked about the fact how Peter said that we are to look after our wives as if they were a weaker vessel. And remember what we talked about, how things that are fragile are always valuable? Our wives are valuable. Ladies, just because this is put in place the way God orchestrated it for the husband to be the head of the wife does not mean you're not valuable. Matter of fact, you're going to find out just how valuable you are in just a few seconds. Husbands need help. God said it. Men, God said there was no one suitable as a helper for God. He knows it. You need to own it. Wives, ladies, you were created to help. So how you help is pivotal. How you help in your husband's life is pivotal in their life of being a husband. Your husband's success, ladies, are you listening to me? Your husband's success hinges on you. I've seen this play out in many different ways. I've seen, and I'm going to use it from my position as a pastor. I've seen pastors' wives help their husbands succeed beyond anything they could ever do on their own. Jerry will tell you that his wife is a testimony, and mine is too, that without her, we have no ministry. But you know what? Here's the bad thing. I've seen it at the same time. I have seen a wife absolutely ruin the ministry of a husband. A God-given task to be a pastor of a church, ruined. And ladies, hear me out on this. I'm not saying it was intentional, but at the same time, the waters got muddy. So what does it mean? What does it mean to be in submissive subjection? Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. That's where we get this. And again, it does not mean a doormat. A husband is to lead his family, set his wife apart, present her as holy and glorious, and love her just as Christ loved the church. But at the same time, ladies, I want you to hear me on this. God gave your husband a mission to lead your family. What's funny about that is the word submission is a two-part word. Sub means under. Mission means objective. So you come under an objective. You come under a mission for success. But this success, ladies, understand something. This success is not just for the success of your husband. This success is for the success of yourself, your children, and your grandchildren to come. This is pivotal. The nuclear family, a man and a woman living under the same house together with kids, is something that has become so watered down that it has no value in life today. The husband's mission is for your success. So that word submission, all that simply means is that you come under his mission. But I want you to understand something. There's many times that we see this submission all throughout the text. First, there's a design submission. There is a submission that we give to God. He is our authority in heaven and on earth. He is the author and finisher of our life. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He is God. We have given him this submission by us submitting our lives to him. But do you know why we did it? For our benefit. Even in the church, there's church submission. And this one isn't talked about a lot. We talked about it a little bit when we went through Timothy. But submission in a church looks a little bit different because you have elders, biblically called men, who have taken it upon their lives with a desire to oversee the spiritual well-being of the church. And in Hebrews, Timothy, and Titus, we see that we are to give double honor to those men who spend days and days in prayer and teaching you, and we are to be in subject to them. You know, Jerry's my associate pastor. Y'all know that, right? Everybody laughs at that. I have a 50-year veteran in ministry as my associate pastor. That's kind of messed up. Do you know I put myself in subjection to him on a daily basis? You see, while he's your associate pastor, let me tell you something. He's my pastor. Tommy looks at him the same way. When we need help, we go to him because we know we need help. And you know what? We know God has put him in our lives for our benefit. Same thing with civil subjection or submission. We have put government in place. Why? For the benefit of all the people. Every time you put yourself in submission, men understand this, ladies understand this, every time you put yourself in submission, you are coming under another mission, but it is always for your benefit. Ladies, are you hearing me on this? Submission is your husband's success for your benefit. So what does that mean? Does that mean that you don't give advice? Oh, please don't do that. Please don't stop giving us advice. We need your advice on a daily basis. So does that mean that you just tuck your tail and do anything and everything that your husband tells you to do? Absolutely not, because your husband should be loving you as his own body. Therefore, he wants you to be the forefront of every decision that he makes. So, Scotty, how is it that I come under biblical subjection to my husband for his success, for my family's success? I want to give you four things this morning. I want to give you four things that you can do to help your husband succeed and be in biblical submission to your husband. You ready for these? First, pray. 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 We don't give prayer the power and merit that it deserves. Do you understand what prayer really is? It's not just a well-stated statement that you are bringing before the people to open up a service. It's not just something that you do before your meal. It's not something that you do when you wake up or something that you just do when you go to sleep. It is you going to the Father, God, our Creator, with your needs, with your desires, with your heartaches, and even with your confessions. Ladies, man, you can apply these too. I want you to be honest with me, or don't be honest with me, be honest with yourself. Are you more likely to think ill will of your husband or to pray for him? I know when Jennifer makes me mad, which is it often. The last thing that I want to do for her, y'all better be praying for me right now. The last thing that I want to do for Jennifer is pray for her. And even when I do want to pray for her, my prayer is always wrong. Because my prayer always goes, God, will you please change her heart? Ladies, how many times you prayed this for your husband? God, will you please change my husband's heart? You know, a couple of years ago, we did this study. There's a book that came out and called The Love Dare. And what it was talking about, it was talking about rekindling the fire in your marriage. Fireproof was the name of the movie. And in the book, because I read through the whole Love Dare thing just to see what it was all about. And the Love Dare thing was all about praying for your spouse's success, but not only for your spouse's success, but for God to change your heart for your spouse. You see, brothers and sisters, the most powerful thing that we can do for our husbands and for our wives is to simply pray for them. Because you're asking the one who is in control of everything to take control of what you can't control. And when we pray for our husbands, we're not changing God's mind about what he says about marriage. We're not changing God's mind about what's going on in our life. We are spurring him into action. Prayer spurs God into action. When his people who are called by his name will humble themselves and pray, he hears, he acts, and he moves. Ladies, praying for your husband isn't just a suggestion. It's the most important thing that you can do, especially when it comes to being biblically in subjection to them. The next thing you need to do is you need to encourage. First we pray, then we encourage. Ladies, let me give you a little insight into men. None of us think we can do this. Men, you know what I'm talking about. You remember watching your wife walk down that aisle? You remember seeing her in all her beauty and all her glory? You remember those vows you took with her? You remember that sermon that was preached to you? You remember all of that, and you remember this going on in the back of your head. Man, I hope I don't mess up. Man, I hope I don't mess up. Men have a big insecurity in their life that most of them will not admit. They just won't admit it. It's not macho. It's not masculine to admit our insecurities. So ladies, hear me on this. We don't need any more discouragement, because I'm promising you this. Your husband is already discouraging enough to himself. What does he need? Constant encouragement. Y'all remember last week how I said a woman wants to be told that she is beautiful and gorgeous. Am I right? Every woman wants to feel beautiful and gorgeous. You want to know what every man wants to feel like? They simply want to feel like they're enough. They simply want to feel like they're enough. They're enough to be the husband that they need to be. They're enough to be the father that they need to be. They're enough to be the child of God that they need to be. They're enough to be loved. And ladies, let me tell you something. If you have never told your husband that he is enough, you're missing out on a big way to practice biblical submission. Not only do you need to encourage him, you need to support him. In supporting, we're talking about help. Let's get real. All of us have a lot on our plate. Am I right? Ladies, we know y'all have got a lot on your plate. We know that your task as being a mother, it's big. It's huge. But we also know that our task of being a husband is big and huge too. We're to provide, we're to protect, and we are to be the spiritual oversight. And you know what happens from time to time? Jerry's even had this happen to him. Brian's had this happen to him. Tommy's had this happen to him. Sometimes things just fall through the cracks. You know what I mean? Sometimes you forget about that basketball game that you need to go to see your kids. Sometimes you forget about those little appointments like the doctor's appointment, dentist appointment, or God forbid, even a haircut. Don't miss a haircut. And sometimes we forget those things. And you know what? We need help. Technology is not a bad thing, guys. I've seen Google Calendar save marriages over the last 5 years that you would not believe. If you do not know how to share a calendar with your wife, call me throughout the week. I'll help you set it up. I promise you it will save your marriage. Husbands, you got to turn on your notifications, okay? You got to. But sometimes we just need help in this. But at the same time, men, we have to help our wives in it too. We need to support each other. And ladies, we need your support. But the last one that you can do for your husband that is huge, ladies, listen to me. To be in biblical submission to your husband, you have to trust him. You have to trust him. And you have to let him know that you trust him. Ladies, I know. That's scary. That's really scary. Because your husband can come up with some harebrained ideas. Your husband can come out with some things that he sees on YouTube or things like that. And before you know it, your kids are blowing up stuff in the backyard. It's pretty cool, but still, it's hard to trust them all the time. But I want to ask you a question. And I want you to really think about this. Does trusting God always make sense? No. No, it does not. Trusting God does not always make sense. I know over the years I found myself in many situations to where I knew God was pulling me in a direction, and it was a direction that I would not normally go. Guys, I promise you, I was not sitting on a bulldozer saying, one day I'm going to be a preacher. It was not happening. Matter of fact, that was the last thing that went to my mind. I promise you, Tommy was not driving down the interstate on his Harley thinking, one day I'm going to be a worship leader. Nope. Nope, that's not what he was thinking. Jerry wasn't in the woods cutting pulpwood thinking, I'm going to be a pastor one day. None of us were thinking that. God laid this on us, and we had to trust him. Ladies, sometimes when it comes to leading your family, God's going to lay something on your husband, and you're going to say, he's lost his flipping mind. He's trying to bankrupt us. He's taking us somewhere that I have no idea where we're going. He's leading us in a direction that's going to forever mess up our family. Ladies, let me tell you something. If your husband is trusting God to lead your family, the best thing that you can do is trust him and trust in the Lord. And I want to tell you something. If you will just simply tell your husband, I trust you, you don't understand what you've done. You've amplified that weight that he carries on his shoulder of being the spiritual leader for his home in a magnificent way, and not in a bad way. You've spurred him to do it. Just by saying, honey, I know you're a wacko. I know you wear two different socks sometimes. I know you just phase out a lot of times. But at the same time, I want you to know, I trust you to lead our family where you're trusting God to take us. Ladies, I want to tell you something that will spur your husband in a way that nothing else can. So you need to pray for your husband. You need to encourage your husband. You need to support your husband. You need to trust your husband. So let me tell you the one thing that you don't need to do. You don't need to take the acronym from pray, encourage, support, and trust, and apply it. Don't be a pest. You hear me? Are you listening to me? Don't be a pest. And I know, ladies, I know, we have to be told multiple times to get things done. But I want you to understand something. And I told somebody this not too long ago. This lady was wanting her husband to propose to her. And I'm talking about years back. And she kept bringing it up to him. Do you know what you do, ladies, when you keep bringing it up to your husband? Go ahead and set it back 4 weeks, okay? That's what happens. That's what goes on in our mind. Well, I'm not going to do it now. I wanted it to be a surprise. I was going to take care of that later. I'm not going to do that. Don't be a pest. And I know some of you are saying, Scotty, where are you getting this from in the Bible? Don't you listen to me on this. Proverbs 21, verse 9 says this. Listen to this. Listen to what Proverbs tells us. It is better to live on the corner of a steep roof than to live in the house with a contentious woman. This is God's word preaching. This is not me. And you know, some people will say, well, that's one verse. I'm glad you said it's just one verse, because Proverbs 21 verse 9 said that. But listen to what Proverbs 21 verse 19 says. It says, it is better for you to live in a desert land. Think about that for a minute. It is better for you to live in the desert where there is no water, no life, no shade, no nothing, than to live in the house of a contentious and vexing woman. And I know, ladies, I know we get on your nerves. I know it. But I want you to take something. I want you to listen to this and think about this. Meditate on this. Digest this. I want you to think about the way God speaks to you. You know, when God spoke to me about salvation, about my need for redemption of sin, and my need for a true father in my life, he didn't hammer me with it. He did little nudges. And those little nudges eventually led to something big. Not only did he do that with salvation, you know what? When it comes to being a husband, he doesn't hammer me with how I need to be a husband. He gives me little nudges. And you know what? God's taught me a lot about him from being a husband, about the sacrificial love that he has for me, and that sacrificial love that I need to have for my wife. Same thing. When it comes to being a father, I have learned so much about God's patience from being a father. If God is half as patient with me as I have to be with my kid, bless his heart. Wow. He's dealt with a lot. But even as being a father, God doesn't beat me over the head about it. He gives me little nudges. And you know what? When it comes to ministry, he did the same thing. Ladies, God didn't pester me about being saved. God didn't pester me about being a husband. God didn't pester me about being a dad. And God didn't pester me about ministry. He subtly suggested things. Ladies, I'm not saying be quiet. God, no, please don't be quiet. But a lot of times, our biggest problem is we say the right things the wrong way. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that what you're saying is not right. But sometimes the way we say it makes it all wrong. But to wrap this up, I want to go back. This verse isn't going to be on the screen, because there is something that needs to be read about this, especially when it comes to subjection. Because in Ephesians 5, verse 22, it says, wives, be subject to your own husbands. You know, I hate when people start there and they don't go back up one more verse. Actually, I want to go up to 15. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise men, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for it is I'm not even gonna say that word. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't say that word, that's why I'm saying it. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies with the heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our God, even our Father. And listen to this. And be subject one to another in the fear of the Lord. Husbands, you want your wife to be subject to you? You've got to be subject to them first. You see, we miss that. Ladies, tell me if I'm wrong. If you have a husband who is leading your family as God has designed it to be, do you have a problem putting yourself in subjection to him? Absolutely not. Men, not being hard on us, but we've got to give them something worthwhile to be in subject to. Father, your design, your words, not mine. But yet I still wrestle with it, and I know others still wrestle with it as well. And Father, we need your help. Every single one of us. We need your help as husbands. We need your help as wives. We need your help as a church family who are encouraging young husbands and wives to grow in their faith, to grow in you, and to grow deeper in love with each other every day. Father, we need you to help us to make families a priority, but we also need your guidance, your words, your direction, because Lord, it's obvious. Over the years, we've completely messed it up. So Father, help us to center our heart on your word and help us to hold to it with everything that you have. We love you, Lord, and thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey guys, Pastor Scotty Gerard here, and I just wanted to say thank you for joining us today. We really hope that this has been a resource that's helped you grow in your purpose for God, but also grow in His glory. We also want to extend an invitation to you to join us here in person at Harmony Grove. We're located at 1008 Town Creek School Road in Blairsville, Georgia. We would love for you to come be a part of our service, to be a part of our small groups. If you have children, we have children's classes on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning, and all this information can be found on our website. We'd also like to continue help you in your growth with Christ. If you have a question, maybe a prayer request, or just need to talk to somebody, you can contact us in the emails below in the description, or you can also contact us through our app and through our website, which are also found in the description below. Again, we hope this has been a blessing to you, because we know that you joining us today has been a great blessing to us. Thank you so much. God bless.